the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. Wow, that was lame. Thanks to people. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Well, hey, we've got a couple in here who just got engaged, Megan and Nicholas, and I just want to say congratulations to you guys. Excited. Those of you who is that? You guys can wave your hands. It's cool. I'm excited for them. I saw that. I was like, oh. I'm excited for you guys. So congrats, because I didn't get to see you guys last week. So congrats. And good morning, everyone. I hope you guys are having a great almost wintry morning. Some people needed jackets, and so it was nice for it to actually be a little cold outside and almost be winter here in Phoenix. This might be one of the only cold days we get this year, so bundle up really, really heavy for that. And for those of you joining us online, good morning and welcome to you. Hey, you guys, because you come to second service, it's not bad. I love you guys. It's good, but you missed out on an opportunity. I'm going to tell you about it, I'm just going to, not that I want you all come into the 9 o'clock, but we got a call this week from Park Meadows, and our heart is to reach out to the school in our neighborhood. One thing, there's businesses in communities that if the business goes away, the community would never know because it never affected, never impacted. If you lost Chick-fil-A in this community, everybody would be like, oh my gosh, Chick-fil-A's gone. Everybody would be sad. You lost Costco, everybody would be bummed. Mattress Firm just went out of business. Do you think anybody's complaining? Yes. People who lost their jobs probably. But other than that, people are like, well, I didn't know there was a Mattress Firm in my shopping center. We see there's some churches that have no impact in their community that if they ever closed their doors, people would never notice. You never want to become a church that if your doors close, the community say, oh, there is a church there? I didn't know. I want to tell you guys how amazing you are. So this week, Park Meadows reached out to us and said, hey, we do this thing called children candy cane thing. I don't know. It's all these kids' names on candy canes. And they said, so we do this every year, but a lot of our corporate sponsors didn't help out this year. Is there any way City View can help? So they reached out to Sophie, who's our outreach director. Give it up for Sophie right now. She's killing it. Reached out to Sophie. So Sophie texts Tony and I, hey, can we help? And I said, well, find out how many kids they are needing. What does this look like? Is it 1,000? Because that's a lot. Either way, we probably would have said yes. And so she texts back, and I read the text, and it says 5 kids have needs and 3 kids have wants. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we could totally do that. And so I show up to the school. I go to pick up the candy canes that have all the stuff on it. And the lady hands me a stack bigger than 8. And I go, oh, how many kids are there? She goes, oh, there's 20. And I said yes to 8, but in my heart I said yes to whatever they had, whatever the need was. But here's the cool thing. You know you're winning when the school reaches out to you and you don't have to reach out to the school. And that was awesome that they knew, hey, you know what, let's call City View. I'll bet they will help. So they called us. We reached out. Last service, all those already were taken. We only had 20. All of them were taken in a matter of I don't know how long, probably within minutes, was gone. And so I just want to say, you're like, I didn't get to do that. It's okay. We'll have other opportunities. We're all about reaching our community. But I just want to say thank you for having a heart to give. Thank you for having a heart of generosity, because that's God's heart. You can't outgive God. So just thank you, thank you, thank you. So I just wanted to let you guys know a story that was just super awesome for this morning. So we're starting a new series titled Great Expectations. We have expectations for so many things in life. Expectations for our future, for our marriage. Expectations for our kids, our job, one day the retirement that hopefully we'll have. We have all these expectations, and there are things that we hope for, and then when those things don't happen, we're disappointed. When you expect something to go a certain way and it doesn't go the way you thought it should. And that's sort of disappointing. But there are other things that we don't hope for, but things that we know, things that we expect, things that should be sure and steadfast and always there. My kids this year for Christmas, my son's like football, and there comes a point in our life where we are trying to figure out, do we transition them out of flag into tackle and ruin their brains for all of eternity? or try to get them into another sport. Well, so we are, our oldest son, he's going to be playing tackle soon. My middle son, he's not. But so to try to help both of them hopefully transition out, we bought them golf clubs. They were on sale Black Friday. I only went and bought like one thing Black Friday, something for myself too, but that doesn't matter. Took them shopping. And I had to make sure that I got the right size for them because they make all different sizes of clubs. So I had to make sure that they were fitted for the right size. And my kids, they can look into the den every day and they know what they're getting for Christmas. They expect it. They don't have to worry. I wonder, like, you know, in the movie The Christmas Story, if you've never seen it, it's a movie about the kid who really wanted a BB gun for Christmas, and everybody says you're going to shoot your eye out. You see, that kid hoped he'd get a BB gun, but he didn't know. He didn't know if it was he was going to get it for sure. But you see, my boys know. They live each day with expectation. They can go and look, and they say, that's our golf clubs. They showed their papa the golf clubs the other day, said, Papa, those are our golf clubs. Do we live each and every day expecting great things with Jesus? Do we have great expectations for who Jesus is and what Jesus has planned for our lives? Do we live like that with Jesus? Or do we hope he might be who he says he is? This next series that we're going through is titled Great Expectations. And we're going to be looking at different people in Jesus' life and the expectations they had for him, not the hopes they had, but the things they knew he would do and the things they knew on why he came. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we thank you, God, that we can expect great things from you because that's who you are. Jesus, I ask that you'd meet each and every one of us here and meet those who are at churches all over the valley today. Lord, pray for Shiloh community. Pray for Caleb over at Desert Bible. Lord, pray for Cody at Valley Life. Mark over at Calvary Community. Ashley at CCV. Lord, I ask that you would speak through the different pastors throughout the valley today. Lord, meet your people where they are. Whatever's going on in our lives, Lord, I pray that we would hear from you this morning. Speak to us at City View this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So here's what we're doing. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at four different people. We're going to be looking at Mary and the expectations she had for Jesus. We're going to be looking at Joseph and the expectations Joseph had for Jesus. We're going to be looking at the wise men. How many there are, we don't know. We just know there were three gifts. There could have been three wise men, two wise men. 100 wise men. We don't know, but we're going to look at the expectations they had for Jesus. And then finally, for our Christmas Eve service, we're going to be looking at God and the expectations God had for Jesus. And we're going to look at how those, each of those expectations can be applied to our life. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we're going to start with Mary. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, and the virgin named Mary, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. You know, we meet this lady, this young girl, who probably is somewhere between the ages of 13 and 18 years old. Can you imagine getting married at 13, 14? You see, when I was like 13, 14, 15 years old, I thought I knew what I wanted to do and who I wanted to marry at that dumb, foolish age. I'm so glad. But can you imagine that's actually what's going on in your life? And so I'm sure that, you know, we all had expectations. We all have expectations for our wedding day. We all have had expectations for what our first year of marriage is going to look like, for what our house is going to look like. And I'm sure Mary had expectations, but they were different than ours. You see, in Mary's culture, she didn't get to pick her husband. Her husband was picked for her. Her husband would approach the father and he would say, and the man would say, hey, I'd like to marry your daughter. And that father would set a price for how much he feels his daughter is worth. 2 cows, 5 goats, 2 chickens, and a partridge in a pear tree or something like that. I don't know. You know, he'd come up with the price and the man would then go and he would then come up with the dowry for her. He'd have to build a house for this bride. And he couldn't marry her until the house was built Women, can you imagine that? Like, you couldn't be married until your husband actually built you a house and had everything all ready, and then you were worth a certain number of cows, cattle, and all that kind of crazy stuff. That'd be weird, right? But that's sort of what she did. And so if you can imagine these, she had her own expectations. And there were things that would have been expected of her. She would have been expected to be a good cook, to be a caring mom, to care for the family. She would have expected, you will have a son for me. That would be expected, hoped for, found value in. Not that girls weren't valued, but in that culture, they really weren't seen as valued as a boy child. And so I'm sure she had these expectations on her, and I'm sure as she is doing her daily chores on this normal morning or normal afternoon, I don't know what time of day it was, and all of a sudden, these things that I'm sure she woke up each day going, I can't believe I'm going to be married. I don't even know Joseph. And then it says in verse 28, and Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored one. Favored woman, the Lord is with you. And confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. I'm sure things for Mary had already been sort of weird. You know, I really wonder, had she already heard about the rumor of her aunt being pregnant? Because you got to think, if you have an aunt who's in her 80s and she's pregnant, everybody's going to be talking about it. Did you hear Elizabeth's pregnant? We all thought she couldn't have kids. And now she's pregnant. She's 80. And all of a sudden, you know, those kind of rumors. One weird thing happens in your family. And you know, if you guys have family like mine, one off weird thing like that, everybody knows within a matter of minutes. Now we have technology. But can you imagine how quickly something like that would spread? So I wonder if Mary, there's already these whisperings and already these rumors of, okay, I think God's doing something. My aunt, who's 80 or however old she is, she's expecting a child, and that's weird. And I wonder if there's these stirring, and people can just sense, okay, God is doing something. Then out of nowhere, this angel appears, and he says to her, favored one. And I wonder if all of a sudden, is she this angel, this shiny, big, buff guy, because I don't picture an angel being like a 5 foot, not that 5 foot's bad, but a 5 foot chubby little cherub looking thing. I don't picture that. I picture an angel being somebody that you'd, because everybody's scared of them. So I picture them being huge. I picture them not being like a little flying fat baby, that's for sure, because who's scared of that? I mean, unless it had like fangs and it's like flying at you, then it'd be like, get out of here, you little demon child. But then everybody would think it's like a demon, not like a nice baby. And nobody's scared of babies unless you're going to have your first, and then it's scary, Trevor. But she's scared. And I wonder if she looked around going, favored one, I'm not favored. And the angel, his first response to her after he says favored one is, don't be afraid. Because if she's anything like me, I would have been scared to death. And I wonder if the angel, you know, in the movies, like you're getting ready, they're kidnapping somebody and they're like, shh, don't say a word. And I wonder, is the angel sort of like, shh, don't be afraid? And I'd be like, that's scarier. That doesn't help me at all. You know, I'm trying to like put myself in Mary's shoes, a girl, a little girl, 13, 14, 15 years old, this ginormous, shiny angel guy pops up in the middle of her doing laundry and says, shh, don't be scared. And like, oh, you're scary. You're scaring me. But somehow, you know, God's peace comes over her. Her mind is probably spinning. And I'm sure at this moment she probably didn't feel very favored. She didn't get to choose her husband. She's getting ready to be married to a man she probably doesn't know very well at all. She probably feels like, well, I'm just like every other girl. What's so special about me? We just sort of are given to a man, and my mom says, one day I'll love him. You know, I really wonder, because that was the culture. And then all of a sudden, she's told that she's favored. She's valued. And that God loves her. And I wonder what that did to her. And she says to the angel, she's really confused, and the angel can tell she's still confused. So the angel says, turns to her in verse 31, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am still a virgin." What a bomb to drop on a poor girl. "Hey, you're going to have a kid." I mean, that had to have been scary. This was the last thing I'm sure she expected to hear on this day. But then I wonder if, with all these things happening, her aunt being pregnant, maybe rumors of God's getting ready to do something, and I wonder if the girls in that village, if the expectation from the moms were, maybe one day you'll be the one chosen by God. And I wonder if in her mind, this verse was something that she remembered out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son who will call him Emmanuel, God with us." And I wonder if each mom said, maybe you might be the chosen one. And each girl had this pressure of, I might be the one that God chooses to have his son. I might be. And I wonder if each girl sort of was raised, and each girl grew up, and then when one by one, when each one got married, they realized, I'm not her. I'm not her. And then as things are starting to move, and as God starts to do things, and Elizabeth, this 80-year-old woman, gets pregnant, and they're like, wait, this is so much like Abraham. And man, what's going on? What is God doing? And all of a sudden, this angel shows up. And she finds out she's the one. And he tells her that not only is she going to have a son, but she says, your son is going to be great. You know, we expect things from our kids, right? We have hopes. Hopes that they will be great. Hopes that they will be good. Hopes that they'll do this. But God says, so this angel says, your son is going to be great. That's a lot of pressure. He says that your son will be the Son of God and that he will reign forever. You see, the idea of reign, we don't really understand that concept as well because we don't really have kings nowadays. But the idea of reign, and maybe the idea that we have in our brain, is a reign, a king that would reign over a region, over a piece of property, or over a land, or maybe over a few countries and things like that. But you see, Jesus doesn't want to be the king of property. Jesus doesn't want to be the king of a region. He wants to reign in our hearts. He wants to be the king of our hearts. And do we live expecting Jesus to reign in our hearts? Do we live expecting that? Do we live knowing that Jesus shouldn't just be an add-on to our life, but he should be our life? That Jesus shouldn't be somebody that's just there for us, but he needs to reign in our lives. And not only that, but do we expect Jesus to be great? You see, I think we want Jesus to be great, but we live like Jesus is mediocre. Because when he doesn't do everything we want, we think, where are you, Jesus? When he doesn't do what we think he should do, we're sort of bummed. We're bummed that Jesus isn't able to do those things. Do we live believing Jesus is great, or do we live believing that he's just mediocre? You see, many of us, when we say we are Christians, we say Jesus is great, but do we live expecting him to be great? Many of us, we live believing Jesus is reigning king, but do we expect him to reign as king in our lives? Or does someone or something else have that spot in our hearts? You see, God says, my son is coming, and he's not coming just to take up property. He's not coming to be the king that you've seen before. He's coming to be great, and not just great, but he's coming to reign, and not just reign the earth, but he's coming to reign your hearts. He's coming that you might trust, that you might rely upon him. And each and every one of us have to come to some point in our lives where we acknowledge who Jesus is, that Jesus isn't some kind of pen pal. He's not our side chick. He's not some kind of long-distance relationship. Jesus wants to be everything. everything in our lives. He wants to reign in our hearts in every single area, but we have these places in our lives that we don't want to let him in. And the angel says about the son that will be born, he says he will be, not he might be. Do we see that there in that passage? He says he will be great. He will be the Son of God, and he will reign. That's the expectations we can have. Just like my kids know, on Christmas Day, unless those golf clubs are stolen, they will get those. They expect. They know what they're going to get. Do we live each day expecting greatness from Jesus, expecting a great God, and knowing that the Jesus we have isn't just some normal guy, but it is the Son of the Most High God, and that he wants to reign in our lives? Do we live with that expectation, or do we live thinking, well, I'll just add Jesus in as I need him? Because I think that's so many times, that's the problem, and why we worry. That's why we fret. That's why we settle, because we forget a God who wants to do great. There's so many times where I see people settling in relationships. Like, well, I'm getting older. This person likes me, so I'll take mediocre. I'll take this, and I'll take, because they show interest in me, and all of a sudden, we settle, and we do that in so many areas. We then settle, instead of for the great things that God has, we settle for mediocre. We settle for that mediocre job. We settle for that mediocre relationship. We settle for these things, and then you look at your marriage, and you wonder, why is it going the way it is? Well, are you happy with mediocre, or are you expecting great from God? Because that's what God wants to do. So do you pray, God, give me a great husband. God, give me a great wife. And if you're married, God, help me be the great husband I'm supposed to be. God, help me be the great wife I'm supposed to be. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to do half. I don't want to do that. I want to be great, God. I want to be who you've called me to be, God, but I can only do that if you're reigning in my heart. It's the only way. We will always worry. We will always fret when the thing reigning in our heart is ourselves. This angel comes and he says, you will have a son, and I'm going to prove it to you. He says, hey, verse 35, the angel, he says, this is how it's going to happen, Mary. I'm going to let you know, I'm going to relieve some stress. So the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And by his power, by God's power, you will have a baby. God does his crazy God stuff. How God does things, I don't know. God made the heavens and the earth by saying it. So how God makes a baby in Mary, I don't know. He says, baby, be. Don't know how he does it. I wasn't there. But he says, what's more, your relative, he goes, look at your aunt. He goes, she's old. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived and she has a son. He's 6 months old in her now. Then the angel says in verse 37, the word of God will never fail. Do we believe that? Do we live with great expectations from God? Do we live believing that God is great, that we can expect great things? Because that's what he's done. Look at Scripture. Look at what he's done. God didn't say at the end of day one, and he created the sun, he said, and everything was okay. He made man at the end of that day, he goes, and everything was very okay. When he made these things and he created the heavens and the earth, and he didn't say, and it was decent. He said, he made it and it was good. At the end of everything, he said, and it was very good. It was great even. Do we live believing those words? This angel says, for the word of God will never fail. That's a verse that was repeated from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. I think I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But it's in Isaiah where it says, and God's word will never come back void. And then Mary responded and said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left. See, verse 37, God's words will never fail. What God says will happen. God says his son will be great. We can expect greatness from Jesus. God says that his son will reign. One way or another, he will reign in your life. One way or another. Either we will believe him and trust him and give him that place in our hearts, or we will allow other things to reign in our lives, and one day we'll come to before the throne room of God, and God will say, why didn't you believe?
You see, we have to come to that choice. Do we allow money, people, jobs, success, depression, hurt, pain, worry, bitterness to reign in our hearts? You see, whether we either we let Jesus reign or we let those things reign, but at the end of the day, something is going to win that place in our heart. Something is going to win. What if we lived each and every day expecting Jesus to be the one reigning in our lives? What if we believed that he had great things planned for our lives? What if we believed that? What if we lived each day going, God, what great thing do you have? And I'm not talking about, okay, God, are you going to help me win the lottery? You're going to help me find my finally beautiful wife that I want? What are you going to help me? My kids are finally going to succeed in school, get all A's, and make it to something. I don't know, becoming somebody famous, who knows what. Or do we live going, God, what big thing are you going to do? God, you allowed me to wake up today. Thank you. God, you provided for me a job today. Thank you. God, you gave me clothes to wear today. Thank you. God, you allowed the electricity in my house to turn on. Thank you. What great thing. Do we live realizing that those are things that are mind-blowing to some? Do we live expecting Jesus to be the one leading our life? Do we live expecting Jesus to be the one that we trust with our life? Do we live expecting knowing that he has a plan and a future and a hope and a purpose for every single thing happening in our life? We may not understand the whys or what is happening in our life, but do we live expecting great things? You see, when we live with great expectation for who Jesus is, we too can say like Mary, may everything you have said about me come true. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you that we can expect great things from you, because that's who you are. It's your character. You are great. Nothing is too small or impossible for you. So, Lord, I ask, Lord, no matter what's going on, if something else is reigning in our hearts, Lord, I ask that we would give you that place. Lord, if something else has consumed us with worry, Lord, that we've allowed worry to take that place in our hearts, Lord, I pray that we would allow you to reign in our hearts. Lord, if we have allowed some person, some critique, some words that people have said, some hateful things, some thing that somebody has done in our past to reign in our hearts, Lord, I pray that we would give you that place in our hearts, that we would trust you, because it's when we trust you, Jesus, that we can see how great you are. And Jesus, I thank you that you're not a mediocre God, that you don't do decent or okay, but Lord, that you are great, and you are greatly to be praised. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hey, guys, I got a question.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.